I think what's really interesting to me about this game is just how different both of these quarterbacks are than what you typically thought of them for the last forever years. Because Brady is airing that thing out. And I saw somebody phrased it, an NFL analyst phrased it as Tom Brady embraced the Bruce Arians high risk offense and reduced the risk, but kept the production. He's averaging more air yards than he ever has in his career by a long, long margin. He's doing something he never did consistently under Bill Belichick. Whereas on the flip side of that, Breeze is at a career low.
Wait, you say he's never done that, yet he put up historic passing yard seasons.
But as far as the
Or
tracking
is it
of the
just
ball
historic?
in the air,
Okay.
so just, we can track that now and really only can for about the last 10 years. But as far as how many shots are you taking and just the average distance the ball travels in the air, Brady is blowing away the numbers that he ever put up under Belichick.
Which is
Okay.
surprising because he had a few years of Randy Moss.
He had a few years of Randy Moss, and Gronk or Hernandez on the deep seam was always pretty dangerous.
And I think a big concern then this year was, he's going to show his age. You remember Peyton. His production was way down last year. He kind of didn't look the same.
Right. And I read way too much into that.
And yeah, I thought, okay, we're going to keep seeing a little more regression, and he's going to be like Peyton in his final year, where he couldn't throw that out. He couldn't get zip on the ball, still knows what to do, but just can't do it. And apparently he just didn't have weapons around him that, maybe that's his regression is, well, now I can't perform at that level when I have inferior talent around me, where he used to be able to. Perhaps he used to be able to make the spare pieces around him better.
Yes.
More than he can now, but if he's got an open man, he can still hit him.
The pieces is part of it, and maybe the biggest part of it, but Arians is also another part of it because Arians wants he wants to go deep. And that results in 30 interception seasons for Jameis, but also 30 touchdowns. But with Brady, again, he's been able to
What are his interception to touchdowns this year?
don't
If we're going to compare.
Let's see here.
Didn't he have? I thought he led the NFL in touchdowns.
He ended up with 40
Yeah.
and 12 interceptions. And that would be the second, I believe, the second most touchdowns he's ever thrown. Because back in 2007, he had a 58 season, 50/8. And this year, 40, 12 at the age of 43. You bring up that last year of Peyton Manning, and I don't think we're quite to that point. But Drew Brees looks a lot more like that last year of Peyton Manning than Tom Brady does right now.
Yes.
He's going the other direction where they're throwing way shorter. Listen to this stat. So Brees ranked last in air yards this year and had he ranked 32nd in deep pass attempts. So passes that traveled more than 20 yards in the air. Brees ranked 32nd. That is behind Dak Prescott, who played in five games. That's what the New Orleans offense is now. Because much like Peyton Manning towards the end of his career, New Orleans now has a dominant defense. And they built incredibly through the draft, which is why the guys who built their team, Terry Fontenot and Jeff Ireland, are getting all kinds of GM run because they built through the draft and they signed a bunch of undrafted free agents, and their defense is great and their offense is good, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. And even when it is good, it doesn't look like it used to.
Well, their strength is Kamara, so a
Right.
lot of his, air yards are going to go just straight to the running back, and then he missed Michael Thomas for a lot of the year. So there's a
Yep.
couple, asterisks net or whatever that word is next to that.
Everyone says it wrong.
I'm just trying to say it as fast as I can.
Yeah, not radio professional.
That's the move. That's definitely the move. You're right, there are
I've
some
never said it
qualifying
wrong.
factors, but there's also, Blake, I don't know if you would agree, the eye test.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That
For
just there's
sure.
times where you watch him and you're like, geez, that just does not look like the Drew Brees I'm used to. Now,
Especially
saying all that, They throttled Tampa Bay both times they played. Week 1, 34-23 Saints, and week 9, 38-3 Saints. So I don't know what to make of it, but I know that on a weekend where all the other six quarterbacks are around 25 and under, having the oldest quarterback matchup in history as the final game of the weekend is pretty cool, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool.
And, you know, because they've been in different conferences, obviously, they haven't played each other much. I think this is only the third time and obviously the first time in the playoffs. And they're probably the two guys that you'll look at and define that generation of quarterbacks. Unless I guess you could possibly even throw Peyton in there, but he's a little bit older. And then you get to the next group of your Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers. But for that group, those are the two guys to me that you could have a debate of which one of these two guys was the best quarterback of these 20 years. And now they're playing in the NFC South in the divisional round. It's wild.
Yeah, I don't think you can really debate if Brady has how many rings? Six?
Yeah.
Seven?
You know what? I lost count, and I'm sure he...
It's just reading his stats, they're all silly. They're all, he has more completions in the playoffs than anyone else ever has attempts type thing. He has, you know, more... He has more everything.
And it's not like with a lot of guys where you would say, yeah, well, what if the guy we were comparing him to had good weapons and a good coach? Because Breeze did.
Right.
So there's not a ton of qualifiers you can throw on there.
And they keep going back and forth, I think, for the all-time passing yardage. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, Dan, do you want to call Brady the winner? I know you were heavily Belichick.
Our preseason debate.
Brady v. Belichick. That's right. No, I think I predicted Belichick to... You know, take Cam and continue to run the world over there and certainly make the playoffs. Do you have our playoff picks right in front of you?
I do. Yeah, you actually had the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Now, I know we both had the Cowboys in there.
Yep.
And that seems absurd right now. And look, we got to eat the crow. But the Patriots was a way more outside-the-box pick than the Cowboys were.
Yeah, Dan had Patriots beating.
I don't play it close to the vest.
That's right.
Yeah, who would they beat?
Beating the Cowboys. Jake had the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Didn't specify a winner. But the you guys also picked the worst teams. Dan picked the Jaguars, was right on that.
Oh, nice.
Jake, do you remember who you picked?
Washington.
Yep.
You thought they'd be the worst? You didn't believe in Ron Rivera?
No, I did not. I did not.
I believe in analytical Ron.
Analytical Ron. You know, I also didn't see Alex Smith regenerating his leg like an octopus. And I thought that there was a chance that they were going to have to play Dwayne Haskins, and their quarterback scene just seemed like a mess. So that's a huge miss for sure, Blake.
Run him down.
All right, let's go AFC. Dan, you had the Ravens, Colts, Chiefs, and Patriots winning their divisions. For wild cards, you had Browns, Titans, and Bills. It's pretty good selections there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of killed it. Right? The team's at least making the playoffs. All I got wrong is Belichick, and you guys want to highlight that. I got
seven.
One playoff team wrong. This is probably the best prognostication in the country.
Jake, you had Ravens, Colts, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Browns, Titans.
Wow, he had every one of them.
Yep.
Nice. So I'm probably the second best prognosticator in the country. As a show, though.
Pretty good.
There's no one who knows more about football than we do. AFC East, at least. Why? How'd we do in the West?
You want to stop there?
We have to do it quickly here. We'll do it here.
All right. Dan had the Vikings. These are division winners. Vikings, Saints, Rams, and Cowboys. His wild cards were Seahawks, 49ers, Eagles. So you had three right.
Three.
So only three teams picking in the top six.
Jeez, Mino.
If you're going to be wrong, go big.
Yeah.
Jake had Lions, Saints, Seahawks, Cowboys, and then wild cards were Packers, 49ers, Cardinals.
So how many does he have?
Three.
Yep. So I edged you by one. And, you know, the Cardinals were close. I mean, they really did have it. And the only reason I say the Cardinals were close is I was really interested in whether or not the two divisions the Cowboys played could both put three of their four teams in the playoffs. And the Cardinals kind of had the driver's seat and fell apart after the Hail Mary and had a win in your end situation in week 17 and failed miserably. But I was real close to – that would have been really cool to me as a hammer just nailing the coffin of the Cowboys season that, hey, the two teams, two divisions that drew you, yes, six of those eight teams made the playoffs. Send them a Christmas card.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.